Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, and then there's Zadok's.
KFNZ, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, right now here on ESPN 97.5, Joe George, Bill Kunkel. We head out to the HRMP guest line. We bring in Jimmy Price. You find him on Twitter at Astros Future. Awesome coverage over this last weekend as the MLB draft was going on. Also has a story up on AstrosFuture.com about Jaden Fielder, the prospect that the Astros got in return for Lance McCullers. I think we just start there. Like, it was, you know, we talked about doing the interview. And it was like, all right, there's a draft, and all of a sudden, there's an Astros trade. So Lance McCullers going to Milwaukee along with Colton Gordon. What do you know? What can you tell people? Because I think people, they hear Prince Fielder's son, and they get excited. Is this anything worth being excited about, or is this just the guy who you got back in a salary dump?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a guy you got back in a salary dump to an extent. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily a throwaway prospect. You know, 813 OPS this year in single A, and got off to a little bit of a rough start over the last 32 games. OPS around 960, draws a lot of walks, doesn't strike out a ton, hasn't really provided like the power from the normal Fielder family that you would see from Prince and Cecil. But he's 21 years old in single A. I definitely don't think he's a throwaway, but interesting prospect to watch. And you know, with a salary dump to be able to get anybody back, probably a good deal.
Jimmy, Will Kunkel here. First of all, thanks for coming on, dude. Love your stuff on X, man. You do great work. You know the farm system as well as anybody. There's always that conception or perception that these farm system sucks. What's your take on the farm system where it sits now?
So I think it's, I mean, obviously it's, you know, they haven't had second round picks the last couple of years. They lost the picks in the cheating scandal in 2020, 2021, and that had an effect. And then you're picking at the back end of the first round when you're, you know, going into ALCS and World Series all the time. So they didn't have the high quality prospects. I think the depth is there. Last year, I think Dana Brown did a good job bringing in some good talent with Xavier Nyans, Ethan Frye. This year, I think he brought in, which I know we'll get into a little bit at the draft, but a little bit different philosophy, but brought in some good prospects. It's going to be ranked towards the bottom of the systems, I guess, just because it doesn't probably have the, you know, the top 10, top 20 prospect in it. But I do think there's depth, and I do think there's a few guys that I really hope they don't trade this trade deadline, because I think those are the guys we're hoping to be the future of the team.
Who? Who do you want them to hold on to?
I mean, really, like, to me, I don't think they need to be in the business to trade an Xavier Nyans or Kevin Alvarez at this point. You know, you got to hold on to, in my opinion, in this situation, to the top guys. The Astros got to have a next wave that's coming up when some of these older guys are moving on, and you trade your top guys. I kind of feel like, you know, you're punting on the near future for what could be this year. And Dana Brown in recent years hasn't really done that. You know, he's made moves, Kikuchi, and some of the moves last year where he's traded more from the depth of the system than the top prospects. So hopefully that's the same route they take this year as well.
I guess we'll just start big picture here with the draft. Like, there's, you know, a ton of picks to go through, but just overall, like, how would you grade out what Dana Brown did over the weekend, and who's the pick that, you know, whether it's the first round pick, Logan Hughes, or who stood out as like your favorite pick of the Astros draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a different philosophy than we've seen in the past. They kind of prioritized hitters that were maybe a little safer, better hit tools, more walks than strikeouts. I mean, Logan Hughes, some of the guys, just extremely low strikeout rates. They probably went a little safe with Hughes at 17, but that's not a knock on Hughes at all. I think he's just a safe prospect with what he's going to be able to do with the bat. But kind of looking at who I was really excited about Bo Peterson, who they got at the comp pick for Framber Valdez. Really good third baseman, won the high school home run derby in 2025, and really only fell a little bit because he didn't hit for as much power in the games this spring. But I think he's got a really good hit tool, and I think he's probably going to rank up there in the top 10 in the system. I can't wait to see him get going. But yeah, I think they went kind of safe with some picks, but then they also took four high schoolers. I expect them to probably sign three of them, and I think those three right there have a really high ceiling. So I like what they did with the draft.
So in the outside world, Dana Brown's future is very much up in the air right now. Certain fans think he should absolutely be canned. Some fans think otherwise. When you look at what he's done, you have to look at the farm system and what he's doing to build the future. You touched on it a little bit. How do you think Dana Brown has done for the entirety of what his job is, not just making the Astros a winner and whether he succeeded there? Like, I want you to touch on that too, but also his moves in the farm system, being a general manager for the entire organization.
You know, I think you start with the 2023 draft and getting Bryce Matthews. And I know Bryce Matthews hasn't taken that role as a full-time player, but really getting a draftee to make it to the big leagues is already an accomplishment. I think you can look at that draft. He's got a few other top guys in there. 2024, you know, Walker Yannick's been a little bit of a disappointment, been injured this year, hopefully comes back, obviously really good defensively. And then, like I said, I think 2025. So looking at the drafts, I think he's acquired some good talent with the lack of high picks, the lack of second-round picks. Obviously, he's had some misses kind of with Burroughs. But overall, I think he was in a tough spot. He didn't come into the system where he had a super deep farm system. He didn't have a ton of guys. They're not in a rebuild situation like when Jeff Luhnow took over, so he wasn't able to rebuild the system that way and have all these chips to trade out. So I don't think he's done a bad job. It's just, you know, he kind of came into an aging roster with a system that wasn't ranked towards the top, and it kind of puts you right in the middle, which is where they're at right now. And I do think he's been able to acquire some sneaky good talent, but still waiting for that big time hit. Xavier Nines is already a top 100 prospect drafted last year. That could be his first one that he really hits on and hopefully ends up making a big impact.
When you look at Logan Hughes and going back to him here for a second, you got a gut feeling on like what his projection of getting to the bigs looks like? Like, is this a guy who's going to spend a little bit of time in the minor leagues, or is this maybe someone who it might just take a little bit for the Astros to actually see him up in Houston and performing as long as he stays in the system?
Yeah, I think he can be a fast mover. I know they talk about him not providing a ton defensively. If he plays left field, then great. But I think the bat is, I think it's going to play for sure. He makes contact. He doesn't strike out. He's got big-time power. Hard worker. I think he's going to be a fast mover. I look back, and I know the Astros are in a different time when they drafted Alex Bregman, and he was the number two pick, but Alex Bregman was drafted in 15 and then debuted in the summer of 16. I don't know if it would be that fast for Hughes, but I definitely think he'll be a fast mover, and I got super high expectations for what he's able to do with the bat.
This is a very kind of odd inside baseball, pun intended, question. But in recent years, Major League Baseball and owners have shrunk the minor leagues considerably with the amount of teams there are. That's likely going to happen again with these negotiations that are going on. In the last shrinkings, have you noticed any difference in the way prospects are handled? Have you noticed that with the Astros at all? And if you don't have an answer, don't feel like you need to create one, because it's a very weird question. But I'm just curious, because you know so much about the system and how it works, if you've noticed any difference and what maybe you're fearful of going forward.
Yeah, I would say if there's a trend that I've noticed, and I don't know if it's all around baseball, but for sure with the Astros, I think they're a little more aggressive with moving players. I feel like Dana Brown, I don't know if that's his philosophy or if that's just kind of all around baseball. But I mean, Xavier Nines, I keep bringing him up, but he's been 68 games in single A, and he just got promoted to high A. You know, back in the good heyday of the system, Kyle Tucker spent a full season pretty much in single A. Carlos Correa spent a full season in single A, and Xavier Nines is in high after 68 games. Bryce Matthews is in triple A the year after he got drafted. It's just, I think they've been a lot more aggressive, and maybe that's because of the lack of players. They kind of need to know quicker than before that, you know, this guy's either going to stick or not. But yeah, the Astros have been aggressive, and I would say if there's a change that I've saw with the lessening of teams, that's probably it. Just teams being maybe a little bit more aggressive and trying to really figure out a guy quicker than not.
Yeah, last question for you. I am, you know, with the potential lockout and everything, like a lot of it's going to be negotiated through the media and stuff. And like, I know on this show, like, we're not going to spend tons of time of what's said every time. But like, I'm curious, like the proposal that the owners that Major League Baseball put out about, you know, cutting out high school players from the draft, making college players eligible after their sophomore year, shortening the draft to 12 to 20. What is your concern about that? Or is there anything that there's any value to that of eliminating high school players from the draft if they got their way and this actually somehow got passed through?
You know, I think you can look at both sides, but I think a lot of the guys that come up and that are contributors early on in the career and they get these big deals or they become a free agent at 26, 27, that comes from the high school crop. It doesn't come from the guys that are drafted at 21 years old. And I think it's great to have high schoolers in the draft to give players an option on what route they want to take. Do they want to go to pro ball where it's more, or, you know, development based, or they want to go to college? I've talked with a bunch of Astros prospects where in college they're not worried about development. I mean, they're judged, the coaches are judged on wins and losses, so they're not trying to necessarily develop guys. So I think it would be a disservice to take high school prospects out of the draft, and even to bring the draft down. I mean, that's, you know, you're taking away jobs, in my opinion, and I'd love to see him still be there. And there's ways that they can probably negotiate and get in between, but I don't think taking high school guys out of the draft and limiting the draft and limiting the minor league system is it shouldn't be the sticking point. It sounds like from the Players Association, they've said that, you know, they're not going to let the future of these young prospects you know, go to waste when it comes to the negotiations. I think they got them in their hearts as well when they're making, you know, going to the negotiating table.
All right, he's Jimmy Price. Find him on Twitter at Astros Future. Great, great follow for all things Astros prospects, minor league system, draft as well. Especially if you're kind of like me and like not a huge college baseball guy, get a lot of great information there. Jimmy, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it, man. And we'll do it again soon.
All right, fellas, appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a break here on ESPN 97.5. He's Will Kunkel. I am Joe George. We're going to go back to fantasy football here for a second. I got a fantasy football question, but not NFL related. We'll get to that next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's time for a hydration break.
Presented by Rambler Sparkling Water.
Listen up, Houston. Rambler is hitting gold cans inside cartons of original and lemon lime at participating retailers across Houston and across America. Why? Because drinking mineral-rich sparkling water is rewarding. Finding gold should be too. Find a gold can and you can win great prizes. Plus, every gold can winner is automatically entered to win an all-expense-paid trip for two to ACL Fest in Austin. So stock up on Rambler Sparkling Water, America's tastiest sparkling mineral water. You might strike gold for participating retailers. Visit the link in Rambler's Instagram bio. All right, Will. BMAC. Yahoo Sports recently, over the last couple of days, announced they're bringing back fantasy football.
Fantasy football is my religion.
Power Four schools and Notre Dame are the players you can choose from. So it's not like you have this vast college football.
I'm already disappointed.
So that's why I think it's interesting. It's like, first of all, I'm out. I have zero interest. I have enough fantasy football in my life.
I'm totally in.
I can't do it. I can't
do it. No, I wouldn't do like high stakes for money, but like if like the people in our, because Joe and I entered our dynasty league, like if we all just started one on the side just for fun, no money, I'd totally do that.
Hell no, I'm not doing anything for no money. Like I'm not wasting my time for free. I've got to be something.
You
got to
do something for entertainment.
I got plenty. Like, we can do this for $50, $20, like whatever.
Yeah, but see, then I'm like,
and it gives you that Saturday then, like, watch.
I can be talked into 20.
You're definitely invested with the fantasy. You would be. Trust me, when that ESPN like 8 game pops up of like all these teams you would never watch, you're like, ooh, Kentucky.
I would
and they're
do
running
it just
back.
So I could draft Notre Dame players right before Joe. Just send him in the tilt.
I also like, just like, I mean, my guess is I'm going to get talked into it.
Let's do
it. That's my guess.
I'll do it.
I just don't know. Well, Jeremy can't.
I've done it before, and it's fun. It's fun.
But see, part of me
do it under an alternative name.
But part of me is just hoping that, like,
Jeffrey
was hoping that.
Yeah, Jeffrey Brenham.
There could be more than just the Power Four teams. Like, if you're going to do it, go all the way.
Yeah, well, the problem is it's just like,
there's so many players.
Not only that, but you have some freaks that don't belong playing at some scrub-ass school that's putting up a billion points.
Like, that was always the fun of it, like finding the kid, like the random kid on a MAC team that, like, some running back that
just
was
just so imbalanced.
160 yards every game. Like, it was just easy money.
Yeah, it's like you find, like,
that was the fun.
You're Jordan Lynch.
Yeah.
Illinois. Yeah. And, like, that guy's going to carry your team.
Yeah, I am a little disappointed that's only Power Four plus Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm currently out. I'll look at some mock drafts to see if I feel like I can be in. Just like, I don't
know. Sounds like you're not really out.
I'll be your huckleberry.
I'm out at the moment. This one is going to be
you're open for business is what you are.
You know what? It's like the Super Bowl party. I'll say that. It's
who's coming?
I want to, if I get the right people. Like, yep. People that watch college football, that like college football, I'm more inclined to do it. People who are just like, I just want to try it, and they don't know anyone besides Longhorns or Aggies, I don't want to do that. Like, I want, like, the right environment I think, to do this, I would say. So at the moment, I'm out. If I get invited to the right league for the right price, you might be able to sway me. I'm also not organizing it. That's my
I don't do commissioner.
I don't want to either. So, Brian, it's on you.
Yeah,
that's,
sounds like
that's it. It's all on you, Brian. Unless enough listeners want to do it, then maybe we can do one for the show. Then that's a different conversation.
Who's going to sponsor it? Step up, sponsors.
I was just curious if people were in and out on the idea of college football, fantasy football.
In.
1970 says, how many fantasy leagues is too much?
That's a good question.
I don't think it's a number. I think it's whenever you get to the point where going to set your lineup, going to look at, you know, free agents before waiver wires hit on Wednesday, whenever that becomes a chore, you need to cut back.
I think it's whenever you
I think it's an individual to individual.
I think it's whenever you can't feel the lineup, and no matter what you do, you're hurting yourself.
That's, yeah, that too.
So, like, you have JSN, and he's on your best team, and then on your second, and then, but in every other league, you're facing him, and you're just getting crushed, and it doesn't matter what lineup you set.
Yeah.
You're going to be positive and negatively affected. Like, that, and you're in too many leagues.
The new, number for me is like 3 to 4, but I think it's individual. Like, whenever it stops becoming fun, cut back.
How many are you in? Okay, you gotta look to the sky to figure it out.
I'm in three dynasty leagues, and I'm in two redraft leagues.
And you don't think that's too many?
No.
Wow. I like doing two, maybe three.
Because I like because it's split. It's split. Like it's split between dynasty and
redraft. Because in dynasty in season, you're not really doing that.
No,
much.
You're kind of just like you're just kind of managing your roster.
Are you comfortable sharing your pay-ins?
They vary from 25 to. I don't know, the one league I'm in, like, I don't know it, because it's like a 150 buy-in, but then, like, the team that scores the most points each week gets another $25.
Yeah, we do that.
The lowest team has to add another 25 to the pot.
So, I like that. Yeah. I'm going to introduce that.
So, like, you can get, like, if you're the worst team.
Is that a dynasty league, or is
that a redraft
league? Okay, good.
I like that.
You can get smoked if your team sucks.
So, our league's a pretty decent buy-in, and I only do... I think it's 300 or 400, but I only do one or two leagues, so it's like I don't rack and stack them. But then we do $100 each week, the highest score, and I love the idea of lowest score chips in a chunk.
Yeah, so like, and it can balance
What do you
out.
Do with that? It just goes to the...
It just like gets allocated each week. So
each
like,
week that gets allocated, doesn't get added to the overall pot we pay like at the end?
No, we pay at the end, and it just gets like masked out. Because like you might be the best team and you might have the best score for 2 weeks, but then you might have guys get hurt and you might have the worst score for 2 weeks.
It keeps people interested.
So then it just kind of balances out throughout the year. So someone, it's just that commissioner has to do all the math and stuff at the end of the season.
Maybe that's how the NBA can avoid tanking. Like the worst teams each week or month have to, the players have to chip in.
Jeremy had this idea when we talked about tanking was you just get $1 million for each win, each team.
That's it. Boom.
So like, you win. You win 65 games in a season. That team gets $65 million. You get one for each win. You're the Hornets, and you only win 17 games in a season. Your owner only makes $17 million. Solves tanking. Every team's going to want to win.
Done.
It would never happen. It would never happen. But it was like the one thing. I was like, Jerry, that's a great idea.
And if you,
and I hate when he's right.
And if you have fewer than X amount of wins, you have to pay in.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Relegation is what needs to happen in America.
Yeah, but there's not enough teams.
I mean, one fewer is all right, or two fewer is okay.
Yeah, like you have 32 teams in the NBA here soon. Like, no one's going to willingly be in the bottom
league. I agree.
So it's like you're kind of stuck
It would be fun as hell.
Oh, yeah. I still hope one day we get it in college football.
Like, if the G League had the Hornets in it.
But they would, like, run the table every year. But, like, I would love for college. Like, I think it could work in college football, relegation. Like, you can have a partnership between the MAC and the Big Ten, the winner of the MAC plays the loser of the Big Ten. If they win that game, they advance to the Big Ten.
And the loser drops down
to the
MAC. And the
loser goes down to the MAC.
That, it wouldn't work from the standpoint of, with the transfer portal now, everyone would just transfer out of that Big Ten school.
You'd have to.
All right, see ya.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a roster. Like, you would not have a roster the following year. Everyone would just be like, okay, like, now that team's, Vanderbilt's going to be in the American forever because no one's ever going to go there again. So like, it wouldn't really work because of the transfer portal. If guys were like locked in for 3 to 4 years, it could. But they also would probably just run the league the next year and then, you know, be playing. that same team again, and it might just be two teams switching back and forth every single year. So like it's like very possible. Like it's just a completely awful experiment. We're gonna take a break here. When we get back, an interesting tweet, and then a response from said player's mother. What happened?
And she keeps replying.
It's a little strange. We'll talk about it next year because Tari Eason seems unhappy about something. We'll get to that next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Will Kunkel here with you. Jeremy will return on Monday. Again, join us tomorrow, Easter 9. We'll be out there all day. John.
How about the meatballs?
I guess Lance will be out there with Dell in the morning. Brian will be doing 12 to 3 with Big Sarge. And then Will and I will be doing 3 to 6 before Full Station should return here on Monday coming up. But we'll be hanging out all day at East River 9 inside Birdie's Ice House. Great food, cold beer. That's all that matters. And golf and pickleball if you so choose to partake. Maybe we'll golf with you.
I would love to
go. You can go to the range first, maybe, at least.
Yeah, I'm in. Whatever it takes to mic me up and so I can go golfing.
I mean, you can hit the range before the show.
Yeah, that's a lot of sweat.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Just bring a change of clothes.
Nope.
Why not?
Maybe.
You get what you want. Stay fresh. Best of both worlds. So Tari Eason. It's been an interesting little timeline for Tari Eason here. So Tari Eason back on July 9th. He was signed. No, sorry, July 2nd. So was signed to a new contract by the Houston Rockets. But 30 minutes before he signed, he tweeted out, "I guess, bruh," with the hands up emoji. So, in the moment, you're just like, okay, this is weird. I guess Tari Eason's not coming back to Houston. And then 30 minutes later, we get breaking news. Tari Eason has a new contract, more guaranteed money than last season. I think it's a great contract in terms of the value of it. I'm surprised he's a Rocket. I thought he would find a bigger deal in free agency. But he's catching a lot of heat right now because yesterday he tweeted this. He said, "So many opinions on my game, y'all. I swear to God, you couldn't walk a mile in my shoes. Y'all couldn't even be great at the little things at your own respective jobs. Only no one cares what y'all do." So he's getting crushed by Rockets fans, Rockets media. I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, you just got this new deal. I think the general consensus is with me that people like it. They like this deal for Tari Eason, and they like this deal for the Rockets.
Yeah, it comes off the heels of him rejecting a bigger deal last year because he didn't have a great season.
Yeah, there was moments where he was, in December, he was the best three-point shooter in the league, and then he didn't hit one for, I don't know, a month and a half. So it's a little bit of a strange season from Tari. So, it was on my radar. Didn't think much of it. I was like, I probably don't want to talk about this today. But then Tari's mom started tweeting at you, Will.
It's a mother's.
And,
it's a family affair.
She's just kind of around, let's start here. Before we get back into Tari, what is your reaction when you see anything similar to this from athletes? Because I don't blame them for getting upset about this stuff. We're all human beings. We all get annoyed when people are constantly telling you how bad you are at your job or you don't deserve this or this or this. And people sometimes they tweet their frustrations. They also then blanket an entire fan base. It's a little different with Rockets, with this situation where it kind of comes off. And it's not, but it comes off as he's talking to everybody when we know that's not the truth. He's not talking to everybody, but it comes off that way. And you get a little ratioed. You go a little viral. So when you see athletes tweeting this, is it catch your radar at all normally? Is there just he's upset about something?
It's a little bit of both. The problem is you do yourself a disservice because you're being really short-sighted in a tweet that's so vague and broad-brushing that you're not actually highlighting the problem. You're now just being a weirdo chiming in and yelling at the clouds because you're not pointing at anybody and you're broad-brushing all the fans. And That's where if you want to, if someone told you, so what happened was, to go a little deeper, is I quote tweeted it just saying, interesting approach by Easton to go after fans. And then his mom replied to me saying, you think people who tell you to kill yourself and tell your brother to kill himself and your mother that they're going to kill her and that you're intellectually disabled and your fans? Copy that, news guy. Making frat
news guy.
I think that's the funniest part.
Can I refer to you as news guy?
I think this is the funniest part. Making fragile men malfunction on Twitter has been my pastime for 20 years. Which, like,
no, it hasn't.
It's a just like a weird hobby for 20 years.
It hasn't been around for
but,
20 years.
Like, if that's what's happened to Tari, which I have no doubt it is because it happens to far too many athletes far too often, then call those people out or reference it so people know what you're talking about versus just being a cry ass on X and not saying anything but saying everything about everyone. You're just doing yourself a disservice. That's why you need someone like a PR team or a mother that can hold you in check that says like,
she all holds right. everyone else in check.
Right. Like, if you want to do it, make sure you have the high ground and you're making your case heard properly. Because if Tari Eason called out, like, if he didn't want to call out the individuals from a standpoint like putting their names out there just for whatever reason, because he didn't, so maybe that's why, then like black out their name but say, hey, these are some of the 9 messages I've gotten. This is insane. This is crazy. And then put your post on it. Like, cool. I'm game with that. Call out the crazy kooks out there that are saying the nuttiest things of all time. I'm good with that. But like, have the self-awareness and the social awareness and the social media awareness to know how your tweet is going to be perceived. And don't blame it on others because you put it out there lazily and emotionally. Put it out there properly, back it up, and that's that. Like, that's what we need to do in the media is, like, I can't go out there and say so-and-so sucks, like, this guy's trash. If I think someone's not good, I'll go out there and say, like, this guy's got to be better, and here's why. These numbers say this, X, Y, and Z. That's what you need to do. And if you don't want to do it, then fine, don't do it, but don't then expect everyone else to understand what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, I just, it's...
There's just no win in vague booking.
Yeah, like, yeah. Don't be
There's
vague.
No win. Like, even if it wasn't vague, like, I hear what you're saying, Will. Like, who has ever won in the court of public perception by going after the court of public perception?
Well, because like, if you bring the receipts, people can – you can – so I think you have the ability to humanize yourself in those situations.
Maybe.
Like, Lance McCullers, when he received the threats, allegedly, which I don't know that we ever saw them. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But the point is, like, he said what had happened, and people were like, oh, damn, that's crazy. We don't want that in this city. We don't want that in our fan base. So he has the opportunity not to even play victim, because that can be annoying, but to humanize himself and draw awareness to, like, some of the crap that professional athletes have to deal with. Because they do have to deal with some crazy things and some wildly insensitive things that it's easy to say, get over it, don't see it, ignore it. When in reality, that's really hard. It's harder said than done. But you should be trying a little bit more if you want to be engaged with your fans.
I just don't think you can win a fight against the internet.
Yeah, I don't think you have to. You're not going to win it, but I think you can put yourself in position to at least be respected with what you're trying to say and, like, feel good about it.
I mean, your approach is better than what he did. I still think it's not a win, though.
No, I have no problem saying what he said. Like, I just think he should screenshot the people saying that stuff and not blur out their names.
I agree. I agree.
Like, I think those kind of people, like, who are allegedly by from Tari's mom saying those things about Tari and his brother and his mother, like, those people deserve to be exposed.
100%.
Like, so, like, just expose them. Like,
I'm just saying he didn't expose them, so maybe he's not trying to go down that road. Therefore, if he's not, here's another route that you could do. You could screenshot it and blur the names, like, if that's the route you want. Otherwise, like, yo, just air it out and say your piece. Like, you have to bring evidence to the court of law. You have to bring evidence of what your opinion is on social media, especially when you have such a large platform. When you have that huge platform, you've got to back up what you're saying versus just spewing BS and emotions. Like, no one needs that. No one wants it. And when you are who you are, people are going to read into it, and you're going to be held to a higher standard. Versus, like, if I said something, like, people are going to be like, all right, why do you say that? What the hell is your problem? You can't just say something like that without evidence. Versus if some fan said it, they'd be like, well, who cares?
Tari's mom's very funny. I will say.
Are you going through her?
I just like she called Will Newsman.
I like Newsman, and then also like someone Newsman. Was going in like responding to her tweet mm-hmm. that responded to yours, and then her response was "Shut up, doofus." Yeah. Like I just like she hits it right. She gets it. Like she gets like I'm not gonna like overly name call, but I'm gonna call this guy Newsman and then call someone else doofus.
I have no problem with her replies. The problem is the initial tweet from Tari and then her initial reply, assuming we know what the hell they're talking about. That's the problem is you didn't put yourself in position to have success. Put yourself in position to have success with this message if that's what you want to do. If you don't want to do it and you're essentially just trying to roll around in the mud with the rest of the trolls anyway.
Yeah, it is what it is. It was a very interesting to see gets paid, go after Rocket fans, no context. Now we have some context. It's one of those where it's just that's why I don't vent my frustrations to social media.
Ever.
I don't want to do it.
Again, there's no win.
Yeah, I don't want the business. I don't want to yell at people.
It's like if you vent your frustrations, in our world, if we have a problem with something, whether it's with a team or with a player or with an event, you got to come with the solutions too, right? So you can't just be a guy that's got a problem with everything and you're just yelling about everything. Like that runs tired real quick. Like if you got a problem with the Home Run Derby, cool. What's your solution? I don't got one. Or, well, shut up. Like no one cares that you got a problem with everything. You don't like the Texans offense. Okay, what's the solution? Don't tell me it's Davis Mills. That's not the answer. So, let's have a serious conversation if you want to chime in about the Texans offense. Same thing with all this stuff. If you got a problem, something's going on, cool. Air it out, but, let people know what the hell you're even talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's just very strange.
Does it feel like he wants to be here?
Hell no.
No,
I don't think he wants to be here.
I think he'll go anywhere for as much money as possible, and he wanted more.
He's only here because this was his best offer.
Yeah, I still think, the tweet was really strange. Or just
that kind of feels like, well, I guess I have no other choice.
And I go back to last year when he was publicly I want to be a starter. You're not gonna be a starter here, dude. It's something to keep an eye on, I think, for this upcoming season of Tari's general happiness with coming off the bench.
And during the playoffs, he didn't play much.
Yeah.
And when there were timeouts, I watched him specifically. He wouldn't even get up off the bench to welcome the guys back to the bench and be involved. Like he just was tapped out. And there were several times on the court where he just gets tapped out as well.
Yeah. It's just and look again, maybe it meant nothing. Maybe he just tweeted it out. Maybe it's about something else.
But again, why?
We don't know. So it's but I agree with you, Brian.
That goes back to the vague booking. There's just no win.
It just looks
whiny.
It seems odd, the whole thing. So it's, again, I think it's something to keep an eye on. I'm just is he actually going to be happy here with the Houston Rockets, or is this a lot of something that actually is truthfully nothing? Well, only time will tell, ultimately, what that's going to be. All right, take our final break here. When we get back, Junkie of the Day. We'll get to that next right here. Joe George, Will Kunkel, Brian McDonald on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't need nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie. Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
All right, junkie of the day. We'll be at East River 9 tomorrow. All of us from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll be hanging out at Birdie's Ice House. Getting some good food, beer, all the fun stuff. Watching some golf, the Open. Forgot it was on. Without Jeremy here, forgot there was a big golf tournament.
You didn't watch? I was watching all morning.
Nope.
Man.
I'll watch on Sunday.
Dialed in at 7 a.m.
Probably should have been. Would have been a great time with the All-Star break. Kind of just forgot, though.
Yeah, we could have had a sweat of the day on it.
Could have had a sweat of the day.
Let's not.
Wait, did we have a sweat of the day?
No, I vetoed doing a summer league basketball, so we took a day off. I gave Will a suggestion anyways of what it would have been and it lost. So it doesn't count.
But I took it.
What private. Was the,
it was the under in a summer league game.
No, you said over.
Oh, it was the over.
Gee whiz.
It was the over.
Under. Did you win your lesson for the last one?
It lost by a point.
That's why I didn't bet it.
Wow.
That's why I didn't do it.
And so I'm pretty sure.
We should show restraint.
I can't. Summer League basketball.
Some of us did.
Can't. We'll have a baseball game tomorrow.
So you bet it will?
Yeah. They lost.
Sorry, Will. My condolences, newsman.
No, I'm going to go. I'll go first, actually. And I'll have Brian and then Will today. I'm going to nominate Conor McGregor. So he had this, you know, polymarket thing he was doing. They were showing a bunch of ads where he was fat and then he took off the fat suit. Actually, kind of a funny commercial. He put on Instagram that he wants not just his fight voided, but he thinks all bets should be voided for his fight. I make you the junkie of the day, Conor McGregor, because the only way any of that's valid is if you were actually hurt before the fight, which we all think you were, but he's not admitting to being hurt before the fight started. Like, you got to kind of pick a lane here of admitting, yes, I got hurt in training. I was not healthy enough to go in that octagon. I went in anyways. And that's why all the bets should be voided. But you never should have been out there in the first place. So I nominate Conor. Brian?
It's a worthy nomination. I'll nominate Newsman for getting for having NBA players' moms going after him. I'll nominate Mike Tyson, which I didn't watch the ESPYs last night, but I saw this clip pop up on social media. I think it was Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, and I forget who the third person won, but they're giving away an award that was won by Shohei Ohtani, and a hot mic at the end of it caught a very surprised Mike Tyson saying, "Shohei's a guy?" So nominate Mike Tyson for not knowing Shohei Ohtani is in fact a man. And then last nomination, I saw this headline just a few minutes ago, and it really is just the headline alone that I'm nominating, but the world's current most prolific serial killer is an elephant in Nepal named Durbe? I don't know, D-H-U-R-B-E, who has accounted for 25 death stalks in 14 years. I didn't know elephants were out there murdering things.
Question.
Okay.
Why haven't they killed the elephant yet?
I don't know. Maybe it was...
Maybe it's illegal.
Were they justified? Like, maybe the things they killed...
Maybe they tried to kill him so the elephant fought back?
Yeah.
Mother Nature taking its course?
Hey.
I mean, if that's the case, then this is a bad nomination.
Like, if he's killed 25 poachers, more power to
him. Sure. But if it's just, like, 25 rando people, like, just hanging out in a safari?
Like that bison in Yellowstone that was flipping Grandpa up in the air?
They said that guy's... They're keeping the bison alive.
Good, good.
As they should.
They should. They should have never killed Harambe either.
You're right. Harambe should live forever.
Respect.
Harambe forever.
Well,
so anyway, those are my nominations.
I'll go to the Easton family.
Yep, fair.
And then LeBron James.
This guy.
This guy's such a clown. God, he's annoying. He was on some sort of panel with somebody, I don't know, and the first question, obviously, was like, you want to reveal where you're going? And he's like, we talked about this in the back, that I wouldn't be revealing it. And then he's like, I'm not ready to reveal my next team, but it will be fun wherever I go. I'm going to do my thing. Dude, okay, shut up. This guy loves himself so much, it's insane.
Yeah, it's
so obnoxious.
I think it's Golden State, but...
Whatever, I don't care to speculate, and... When he says it, we'll all know. Great, bye.
And we'll get a push notification.
Yeah, so irritating.
5916 says, so the Dexter of elephants, great pull.
Yeah, very much so. The Bay Harbor Butcher.
I was trying to see if tickets were available yet for Survivor Series because I was curious how much they were going to
cost. I think it goes on sale August. Early next month. Yeah.
I just wanted to see if the prices were up yet.
Yeah, I bet the get-in price is over 100.
Oh, yeah.
Which it's funny because I put out a story like when that thing came out, and all the comments on social media are from fans. They're like, "Oh, I wish I could go, but I can't afford it. I wish I could." I mean, prices, everybody.
Ever since
that's sad.
What's the name of the group? TKO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since TKO took over when Vince sold, the prices have just quadrupled. Like quite literally quadrupled.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but
it is what it is.
All right, who do we want to give the winner to today? I think Mike Tyson.
I think Mike Tyson's the winner. I thought Shohei Ohtani was a woman.
People were also very upset.
A woman?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a man, like it was like that versus a person?
No, he said.
Yeah, no, he thought it was a woman.
Yeah. It also.
I've been thinking that he thought he just hadn't heard of Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, no.
Obviously, he hadn't heard of thinking that it was a woman.
Yeah.
But I thought he was like, oh, that's like a.
That's a person.
Not a woman.
No, he thought it was a woman.
I was like, you got to keep that guy's mic off.
No, we want those moments.
No, I know.
You kidding me?
You never know what you're going to get.
We owe each other to fight each other.
People are very upset.
Celebrate our life.
Savannah Bananas performing yesterday.
I heard it was horrible.
Probably was, but like, who cares?
Well, because it's so bad that it's like, why are you wasting up my time?
Yeah, they did
what,
like
on stage.
Yeah, because like one of their guys now is like a Broadway singer, so like they did like a full thing.
How was the host?
I've seen clips.
I haven't seen anything.
Seems like he was very funny.
I watched him for about 5 minutes.
I like him on SNL. I didn't see much of his. Yeah.
I've never once watched the ESPYs.
I watched more with Shane Gillis because Shane was.
I just watched the clips. Like it's fast. Like it's one of those things where it's like all the good stuff's gonna be on Twitter within 5 minutes. Why do I need to watch this? It's just like any roast. I don't watch a roast. The clips will be out there after.
Shane Gillis's hosting last year was like the most viewed one within a day of like all time.
Yeah, because he had one of the best jokes of all time.
Yeah. Which one do you think was the
WNBA show?
The WNBA one was great.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like this entire this entire group of people to clap for his friend's wife.
Yeah.
It was so well executed. Like he called his shot and he nailed it. It was so funny.
And in that room with those people too?
Yeah.
It was a very Norm Macdonald-esque joke.
Yes, it was.
The setup of how he paid it off was great.
All right. So, Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson's the winner.
He's the winner, Junkie of the Day. All right, that'll do it for us, Abe. We'll be at East River 9 tomorrow. As always, thank you for watching and listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Texas is good. Everything is big.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.